ones who have lost the loved ones, oh God. Father, the only person who can help us, oh Father, go through that is the Holy Spirit. Father, it is difficult to lose someone that we care for and we love for. The detachment is hard and painful, Lord. But your Holy Spirit console us, oh Lord. Lord, we pray for the ones who have lost their loved ones, oh God. For Joyce, for Jim, and for Flory, for Joseph, and for Oliver and Sophia, for the rest of the families, oh Lord. Lord, we pray right now, wherever they are, that your Holy Spirit would console them, oh God. You will lift them up, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for you are a God who answers prayers, for a God who hears our cries, for a God who responds to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can call up to you, Lord. Father, there are many in our prayer request, oh God, as we have heard even Jan, oh God, she needs a touch from you, Lord. And she came, oh Father, and she asked for the church to pray, for the body of Christ to pray for her, oh God. But Lord, as she's in the hospital, Lord, we ask of you, Lord, that you will visit her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And you will do a miraculous work on her life right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for every member that comes here week after week. Thank you, Lord, for our friends, our visitors this morning that with us, oh Lord. And we ask of you, God, that, Lord, that our hearts and our minds will be attentive to you this morning, oh Lord. That when you speak to our hearts, oh Lord, that, Lord, we will be encouraged and grow by it, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to pray for our family members here, for the ones who are struggling financially, oh Lord. Father, as the scripture says, if you have provided for the birds, you will provide for us, Lord, because we are valuable in your eyes, oh Lord. The scripture tells us how much more valuable are we. And Lord, you will provide for us, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that we can thank you in advance. We can worship you in advance. We can give you, God, the glory, honor, and praise in advance because you are God who will respond. We thank you, we love you, and we adore you, Father, and we commit this service into your hand this morning, O Lord. In your precious name, we ask these things. And all God's people say, amen and amen. You may be seated. God is good. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank the Lord for the wonderful presence in this place this morning. And I want to thank the team for leading us into praise and worship. It's nice to be back in Edmonton. I was in Edmonton itself. I was just out of Edmonton. I was near Leduc. That's where I live. So it's nice to be back in Edmonton. And it's great to see you and come here in New Hope Christian Assembly and to see you smiling and worshiping the Lord. I know it's still summer. People are still on vacation. People are still traveling. This is Alberta. People like to go out and travel. And this is a good thing. It is actually, you guys, this church has actually taught me to do the same. So I'm learning from next year. For next year, I'm going to be traveling also because it's really good. When you see the sun, we really want to go out and have some great time. Amen? So, and I just thank you for your prayers and for your support and for coming on out in this last couple of weeks and hearing from the Word of God. I also want to say welcome to the new ones that are here this morning. Welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. It's nice to see Eunice with us worshiping the Lord. It's nice to see Vivian with us this morning and serving the Lord with us and worshiping. It's great to see as when they're having hard times in their bodies, but they're here in spirit and just praising and worshiping the Lord with us. And it's really encouraging to see that when you come on out and worship the Lord with us. May the Lord continue to bless you all. Amen. And it's also, it's been at least 2 months that my son had left and went to Montreal. And every day I used to call maybe 2 times a day and say, okay, are you tired? You want to come back? You want to come back? But he waited after 50-something days to come back. But it's nice to see him back with us in our home. And it's nice to see him, you know, a teen likes to give, you know, always likes to be right. So it's nice to see him with us in our home and having supper with us again. So
Welcome once again to every one of you that's here today. And I also want to take this publicly. They're not here, Pastor Alan and Catherine. They're preaching in another church this morning, but I want to say thank you for them for taking the pulpit and for sharing God's word as they led God's word the last two Sundays. May the Lord continue to bless them and in the ministry as they travel today this morning to that church at New Life City. Not too far from here. So this morning, as if you remember, I want to continue on the study on the ministry of Jesus. And I'm almost to the end of that. It's my last sermon that I'll be doing on the ministry of Jesus. We spoke about spiritual warfare and oppression and meal sharing. And so we spoke all on those the life of Jesus when he walked on earth. And we just try to apply that to our lives. But this morning, I want to speak about the true picture of the kingdom is kingdom diversity. Kingdom diversity, and I'm going to look at that this with you this morning. So I just ask the Lord just to speak to us and to enlighten us as we go through the Word of God this morning. But I also want to say, before I go to that, I don't want to forget, there's a couple of things that I want to say. I know Brother Joseph had said that we have spent over $10,100 for the parking lot, to pave the parking lot and do the lines and all that. And some of us might say it's expensive. But I can tell you one thing, we had maybe five to six quotes, and one of the highest quotes was $114,000. So we are really blessed to have something of $10,000. The one was at the $114,000. $114,000 for a parking lot, that's a lot of money, okay? And then we had some at $75,000, then at $45,000, then at $15,000, and then we got one at $10,000. So that is, you know, to God, you know, we might say it's a big amount, But $10,000 is pretty good compared to $60,000 or $70,000. Amen, is that right? So as the brother was saying, I want to say thank you for the board for taking that decision for doing the parking lot. It's important that we had to do that because the asphalt was all lifted up. I don't know what had happened there, but we're trying to investigate what had happened, who came there with the truck and just broke the asphalt and didn't tell us anything. And there was a puddle of maybe antifreeze or something, engine oil is on the parking lot. So we know there was a big, heavy truck that came here and did that damage. But no one's going to confess and say that they've done that damage, no? So we're doing an investigation with Sister Pat and Leslie are trying to figure out who it is that came in the parking lot and try to see what had happened so they can be responsible in paying for that. Am I right? Are we doing the right thing? Or do you want us to go more aggressive to that? Or step at a time, okay? We'll do that step at a time. And as the brother was saying with the board, we have decided that on the fifth Sunday of the month, we want to do a special offering to replace the money that we had in the building fund. Amen to that? Amen. May God bless you for that. So let's go into the ministry of Jesus, kingdom diversity. It's a true picture of the kingdom. I want to speak to you today. For many years, I have ministered to an Italian-Canadian church. And while traveling, I also traveled and preached in Haitian churches. So I've seen different churches. Italian was very conservative, very quiet. If you clapped once in a while, you'd be looked at crooked. If you danced a little bit, they would say, "What is going on with this guy? Is he on something or this morning or something?" It was just different cultures, different ethnic and different people, the way they worship the Lord. And as the years has passed, I have seen change in our churches. It's no more one ethnic, especially in Canada. You see multicultural churches. You see different kinds of nationalities. Look around. We can see that here with us this morning here. And they have seen that there were diversity. There's a lot of diversity. And today, as I come to New Hope, I have seen that when I came last year, it was a majority of Caribbean. We see 60 to 70% of Caribbean. And as the time is passing, we've seen more of a different multi-ethnic church. And we're seeing it's a mixture, and it's amazing to know. We have a German that gave us a phone call a couple of days ago. She wants to attend our church, and then we have a native that called and said wanted to be part of this church here. So we have some different kinds of nationalities who are trying to call this church here and trying to be part of a small church, community church. And thank God they were here on the right time, the right place for Bonnie Doom. Amen? But our goal is when they come in, they will feel the presence, the fellowship, the love of one another. Amen? So this morning, it's not going to be one of those services that I'm going to be running around with an handkerchief. But as I want to be here this morning to teach something, go more solid than trying to give like a teaching lesson. And once in a while, I give my preaching just a little encouragement there too. But I want to teach this morning about diversity, what we're looking for in a church, okay? But I must confess that and I've discovered after even a year in this church, when different ethnics come in and different nationalities come in, it is very challenging because everybody deals and thinks differently. So if you're in a one-setting church, for example, an Italian church, I know how they think. If you're in a Hispanic church, we would know how they think. But when it's ethnic church, different kinds of people, different kinds of cultures and backgrounds, it's difficult to understand because everybody comes in different ways and worships different and prays different and all that stuff. So it's challenging for me too, as when you want to lead the church. But it's a good challenge, amen? It's a good challenge. So as I studying God's word, I have seen the importance of in being a multi-ethnic and a church with different generations. This is the key that I want to talk to you about today. It's not just a one-color church here. What I'm looking for, what we're looking for, what the Bible is teaching us is different generation churches. Four different generation churches. We need children, infants, kids, and the teens, and young adults, and couples, and widows, and poor, and rich, and black, and white, and yellow, all those things to have the kingdom church. That's what we're looking for. If there is only one generation in a church, there's a problem in that church. God, you will see through the scriptures, and I will try to present it to you through the scriptures, that a church, the way a church should be, a church should be through the scriptures this morning. It's not my own intelligence. It's not because I'm not that intelligent. But I'm using God's word to apply this to our lives, to New Hope Christian Assembly. So this is what it is. That God is not calling us to simply to be diversity ethnically, or a true picture of a kingdom of God is a group of people whom ethnically, socially, and multi-generations, diverse. It must be generationally diverse. But what I found in more difficulty than ethnically or social diversity is the different generations. Now, I'll explain to you why is this. Now, when we look at Brother Ulrich worship lead, and I look at myself, 45, and Ulrich is around 30, the dances that he does and the moves that I do, it's completely different. Now, I would love to be like that again and do the same thing, but I just can't do. We're two different generations. Or we have someone who's singing a hymn and someone's out there who's a young teen. They would say two different generations. Say, what is going on over here? We got, you know, it's hard to try to connect with each other because one is raised as a hymn boy or hymn woman and one who's raised as a contemporary music. So it's a bit difficult to say, wow, look at that. But and then there's little things that happen when we have those situations over there. Is a person who is young that's looking at the person who's singing a hymn song, just looks at that person and says, it's boring for me. But let me tell you one thing, or the other way around. If we're singing contemporary music or gospel or something that is so exciting, but you're the person who just sits like this and you're looking at that and say, oh man, why can't we sing some hymns? Let me tell you something, that's not the attitude a New Hope Christian Assembly should have. But when you see a person singing a hymn song, let's rejoice with that person, even though you don't know that hymn song. But when someone is singing a gospel and they're dancing and they're up there and you're not a person who dances, but look at that person and just rejoice because they're worshiping the same Lord as you and I. Because where there's freedom is, there is liberty. Amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we must come to this attitude is when we look at this generation and see this generation as when you see someone who's singing gospel and someone who's just singing, doesn't know and likes heavy metal, just look at the person singing gospel and rejoice with that person because they're so rejoicing in the Lord together. Amen? And this is a problem that we're facing at every churches in the world, every churches in Canada, when it comes with music, when it comes with kinds of music, we always hear complaints. We always hear complaints. But this morning, the Lord will help us to remove those complaints. Amen? God is calling us to be a church that is in the scriptures, a church that models a diversity of the kingdom and it looks like red, yellow, black, and white. Watch this, rich and poor. Because there's some churches that don't want to look for the poor. But the Bible tells us to go out for the poor. The Bible tells us to go out for the rich. The Bible tells us to go out for many different status of people. And there are churches that don't focus on the poor. And that's not biblical. That's not a biblical church. Because we need to be a church that is diversity, that even goes for the poor, that even goes for the ones, the widows, and the children, and the elders, and the couples. That's the true picture of the kingdom of God. Because once you go to heaven, there's not only one ethnic. Once you go to heaven, there's not only one status. There are different kinds of people inside the kingdom of God. And together we will worship the Lord. Amen? Amen? So let's look at this together. A kingdom church is a church that declares all people come to faith in Christ and are welcome, young, old, rich, and poor, in all different colors, and not only welcome, but also engaging together in worship. And as a leader, I want to see a greater picture of diversity that really looks like the Bible, that really looks like the church that God has called us to be. Amen? A God called us to be. So our text this morning is in Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. And I just pray that this text will just help us, because we are in a series of we're looking at Luke and we're looking at the ministry of Jesus. So Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23 this morning. May the Lord add another blessing upon our hearts as we read His scriptures this morning. Amen? Then John's disciples told him about these things. So John summoned two of his disciples and said to them to the Lord, asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else?" Verse 20, when the man reached him, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else?" See, verse 20, we look at John understands his position to be the forerunner. He wants to know if Jesus was the promised Messiah. So he sends his disciples and asks Jesus if he is the one, or should we wait for someone else. Now verse 21 says, "And at that time, Jesus healed many of these people of diseases, plagues, of evil spirits, and he granted sight to many blind." And then verse 22, he replied to them, "Go and report to John the things you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the deaf are raised, and the poor are told the good news." And here's the verse 23 that I want to look at it together. "Anyone who is not offended because of me is blessed." It's telling us you must be offended when you hear the gospel of Christ. Many were offended by the gospel of Jesus. Through this passage, I want to give out some truth about the kingdom. The first point I want to bring out is diversity is a priority of the kingdom. It is not a secondary issue. It's a priority. It's not unimportant. It is very important. It's central to the kingdom of God. This story, the disciples of John go to Jesus, and Jesus simply displays the kingdom. He does this over and over. It was said in the past, the kingdom of God is both declared and displayed. So he's displayed the kingdom of God, and go and tell John what you have seen. In verse 22, you'll see that he replied, "Go and report to John the things you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk." And we can continue reading on verse 22. "The blessed are those who are not offended by me." Jesus knew that he would offend people. Jesus knew he would offend people by doing the works and preaching the word. There's nothing beautiful about that. You don't want to be offended when the word of God is being preached. Amen? You don't want to be offended. But if you're not offended in a church, if you go in a church and you're not offended by the word of God, it's not preaching the word of God, because the word of God must be offended to our hearts. Because it challenges us and it teaches us to get out of sin, to remove ourselves from sin. But when you go into a church and they don't speak about sin, it doesn't offend you. It'd be okay for that. And that's why those churches become big churches, and they become multi-big churches and mega churches, but you haven't heard a message about sin. But the gospel tells me here that the message of God must be offensive. So to teach us and to put us in line to follow Christ. Amen? Do you believe that with me this morning? Are you in the same church this morning? Are we here this morning? I know some of you might be tired. Some of you might be, you know, last night must be watching the match and you slept late. You got to wake up this morning, just get some time. Someone might have been in a party last night. Maybe had a couple of drinks. Coca-Cola, I'm talking about. Diversity is a priority of the kingdom. If you and I are going to do the kingdom of God, there will be people who will be offended by it. And there are people who don't like kingdom ministry. Let me tell you that. There are people who don't like kingdom ministry. There are people who will feel offended by the kingdom. There are also people who will be offended by the message. They will be offended by the truth of the kingdom of God. They will be offended. And have you heard of people being offended? So if you're going to be a church that won't offend people, you can do that and just not, but you're not going to be the kingdom church. The kingdom is offensive to many. The gospel is offensive to many because it declares you're wrong and you're living in sin. So Jesus understands the nature of the kingdom is offensive. But what is he saying here? Blessed are those who are not offended by this. It is in the context of verse 22. Generations here, the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah. And the way they pictured their Messiah is that he would come in a nationalist king and with the flag on his shoulder, destroying all the enemies. Instead, Jesus did the exact opposite. He didn't go to the Jews, but he went everywhere else. He went to every people that the religious leaders did not go. And that was offensive for the Jewish people. Because Jesus did the opposite of it. He went to the poor. He went to the Gentiles. He went to the widows. And we can see that through the scriptures this morning. And that was offensive to the Jewish people. You were supposed to come for the Jewish people. We are the chosen one. But they went to the other side. And that's what he's teaching us. We cannot go to one status person. You cannot go just for the rich. You cannot go just for the white. You cannot go just for the black or the yellow or the Chinese, whatever you want to call it. You got to go out of the box and go where God leads you to go. To bring the kingdom diversity in the church. But there are places that focus on one culture, on one ethnic, or one status, rich or poor. But we got to go everywhere. Jesus is teaching us through the scriptures this morning to have a multi-ethnic church, not just in color, but also in social and generationally that we need to look at this morning. Amen? So here it is. The Jewish people were offended by this. If you look in Luke 4, Jesus walks in the synagogue and he declares from Isaiah that he has been anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor, to give liberty to the captives, and to give sight to the blind. And they can't understand his statement. They can't understand that Jewish people had no understanding why Jesus had come. Amen? No one understood that. In chapter 4, verse 24 and 30, he said to them, I assure you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I say to you, there will be certainly many widows in Israel in Elijah's days, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, while a great famine came over the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon, and the prophet Elijah's time, there were many in Israel who had serious skin diseases, yet not one of them was healed, only Naaman the Syrian. And you can go on and you can read this here. If you look at Seraphim and you look at Naaman, these are Gentiles. That Jesus did not go to the Jewish people, he went to the Gentiles. He's teaching us something. Get out of the box. You need to be a church, a diversity. Do not focus on just on one culture, but focus on one status. But we need to go out and look, here it is where he went, to the widows. The widows need Christ too. Am I right? Now we think of it, are we a church like that? Are we doing something for the widows? We must act on it and do what God has called us to do. Soon as he quoted from this passage, the Jewish people were saying, the Messiah was not coming for the poor. The Messiah was not coming for the Gentiles, but Jesus, then he reads from the Old Testament, showing them and telling them about Elijah. The Jewish people had no idea, telling Jesus, if you are the prophet, you would know better. You wouldn't do that. He wanted to go to the Gentiles. That's what he came for. He came for all. They had no idea that he was the prophet, but Jesus knew that he was the prophet, and he knew why he came, and he came for the sinner. God always has a passion for the nation, and the church should never think like we are the insiders or the outsiders. No, God pours out his blessing upon a group of people, group of believers, that everyone else will come in. That's why God blesses. He blesses the church so others will come in into the presence of the Lord together. Amen? So what happened when he spoke that way? They wanted to throw him off the cliff. As you look at verse 28 and 29, you will see that when they heard about this in the synagogue, were enraged. They got up and drove him out of town and brought him into the edge of the hill their town was built on, intending him to hurl him over the cliff. But he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Over and over again, Jesus broke the culture priority and brought everyone's else in making sure that the kingdom was for them. And look at even Luke chapter 8. We will see that soon afterward, he was traveling from the town, a village, to another, preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom of God. Then the 12 were with them, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirit and sickness. Mary called Magdalene, 7 demons came out of her. Joanne, the wife of Cusa, and Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who were supporting them from their possessions. Now look at this. We see a lot of women's name there. Do you look at that? The women should be proud because the women's names are right here. Why does Luke speak about women? Why does Luke bring it out and emphasize about the woman? Luke's intentions are to show how Jesus brought the outsiders in. Well, Luke is showing that a woman is valued in the kingdom of God. Culture might have them put them aside, but Jesus Christ is bringing them into the kingdom. In Jesus' days, a woman was not even allowed to share testimony in a court of law without someone else being there to command to assure if the testimony was true or not. But Jesus says, no, the women are valued in the kingdom of God. That's old, old culture. We're bringing the women in the kingdom of God. Amen? That's why we have a hard time at times to say, why is that woman preaching, or why is that woman going around and being an evangelist? Because they're still thinking the old way and saying that the woman is only to be silent in a church. But God calls every one of us to be to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just for one. It's not for just one culture or one nationality or one status or one or anything or a man or woman. He calls all to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to break those things, break those cultures, because he showed us through the scriptures. He has shown us through the scriptures. He went to the Gentiles. He went to the widows. Why is he showing us that? Why is he showing us that through the scriptures? Because he believes all of us belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? Jesus did not follow the culture. He disregarded it and created a new thing. And he brought everyone to the kingdom. So the first one was diversity is a priority of the kingdom. And the second one I want to bring is diversity is a picture of the kingdom. In Revelation 4 and 5, we see that we will worship together once when we get to heaven. What a beautiful thing is when we get to heaven. We will worship the Lord together. It doesn't matter if we're going to sing gospel. It doesn't matter if we're going to sing hymn. It doesn't matter if we're going to sing contemporary. It doesn't matter if we're going to sing Italian songs. But we're going to be together and worshiping the Lord together. And that's the best thing that you and I can ever happen. Because once you're in heaven, there's not going to be selective. We're not going to be selective what kind of songs we're going to be singing. Because God has brought us there to worship the Lord together. Amen. The picture of the kingdom. In Revelation 19, it tells, and he said to me, write, those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb and are fortunate. He also said to me, these words of God are true. So in all the believers that are dead from Adam until the resurrection of Christ, we have a quest of the feast, both Jews and Gentiles, and the rich and the poor, and the right and the white and the black. You can name them all, in the yellow and whatever, if there's other nationalities out there with different colors, whatever it is, God will unite them together and be together in worshiping the Lord together. So if we want to be kingdom ministry, we got to be diversity, not only in our worship, but also in our fellowship and also in our meal sharing. You cannot, and we cannot, be selective. We cannot have our own groups. We need to have a diversity. When we see a poor, we need to hang out the poor and be friends with the poor. When we see a rich, we got to hang out with the rich and be friends with the rich. Not because you want the nice suits, but you hang out with the suits because that's what the Bible tells us. When you see a black, or when you see a white, or when you see a yellow, if God wants us to have diversity and have relationship and have friendship with everybody, that we know every diversity, everyone is different. But God puts everybody in the same. And he's not teaching me here through the scriptures to go for one culture or one ethnicity or one generation. He's teaching me multi, differently. And I am so proud of this church because we have infants. I am so proud that we have youth, some youth. We're going to work on it. Some young adults, we're going to work on it. Couples, widows, you name it all. Seniors, we need seniors. Why? We need the wisdom to give it to us. And there's some churches who just kick out the seniors because they're just finishing their nights. They're finishing their years. But I need the senior in my life because they experience things that I have never experienced. And they can teach me how to walk with Christ. And young woman, you need an older woman in your life. And young man, you need an older man in your life that you can teach wisdom in your life. And to give you experience of life that they went through. So young woman, if you're here this morning, if you don't go into a women's group, put yourself into a women's group. Go into the women's group, in the women's fellowship. Go there. Learn from the women. And young man, you go to those men's fellowship. Hang out with them. Study the word together. You will learn wisdom. You will get wisdom from the elderly. So I see some churches. I don't want to mention any churches, but I've seen some churches. I just moved a lot of points. That is focused only on youth. And you don't see not even one senior over 45 years old. For me, that's not kingdom diversity. Where's the wisdom? Where's the elders? Where's the seniors that we can go to and teach and help and ask questions that he can teach us? And then you're going to see an older church. This is funny. Some older generations, first generations, they're 80 and plus. Oh, I can't sing with the gospel music, or I can't sing the contemporary music. So they can put themselves a little group and they start a little church as an elder church. What happens in 10 years? They're all dead. There's no more church. That's not how God looks at it. We need to have seniors, widows, rich, poor, couples, children, and infants. That's the church what God has called us to be. And I'm proud of this church because we have that. I'm proud of the church we have that. Though we're a few, but it's going to grow. It's going to grow. But let me tell you something, how simple it is. If we have 5 youth in this church, if those 5 youth would bring 5 of their friends, it's already 10. If we have widows here and hang out with the widows, you can have some widows in the church. If you have seniors, like this is a great opportunity to have seniors. We're having a luncheon. Seniors, invite your neighbors. It's so simple. If they can't afford it, if you can afford it, it's okay. If they can't afford it, come and see me. We'll figure out something. But it's so easy to invite someone to come over. Every one of us have a different generation in here. If we look at it, Elmer's one generation, we can go on to the second generation, third generation, fourth generation. They're all here. Maybe even fifth generation or something like that. But we're all here. And that's a good church. You should be proud of New Hope Christian Assembly. Are you proud of New Hope Christian Assembly? Okay, that was pretty weak, but I'm proud. So the Gentiles were struggling because the church life, they always heard that the Messiah was for the Jews. No, the Messiah came for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. All the favor was for the Jews, not for the Gentiles. They were the chosen one. But so Paul in Ephesians 2, the Gentiles says that if you are in Christ, all the blessings belong to you. You are also the chosen one. Because you're in the kingdom of God. And the power of the gospel breaks down all cultural barriers. It's a picture of the kingdom. He died for all, not just for one ethnic. And he gives us a picture of a true kingdom should be. Diversity in every culture, every color, and every status. Let me clarify this a moment this morning. There's nothing wrong with an all-black church or an all-white church. There's nothing wrong with that. Or nothing wrong with a growing church. But let's look at this for a moment. There are some old folks who have a hard time with some music. Am I right? Because you're probably in the old folks. They have a hard time with the new generation songs. The way they dance. Or the way they worship. So they start their own traditional church in 1923 hymn songs. And it's okay, but that's not the church what God is looking for. We're not trying to grow a church with one generation. We want to build the kingdom of God. And I don't care if we are small. I don't care if we are small, but we need to focus on kingdom ministry. I don't see in the Bible that a church should be for one set of group or hang out in the corner and no one shows up. It shows us that all together worshiping the Lord together. Priority in the kingdom, picture in the kingdom, and the third is diversity has to be a commitment of the kingdom. We need to be committed in what we say. If we say, we do it. If we say we're going to be a church who is diversity, we're going to focus on that. Are you with me this morning? Are we going to be committed to that? So even this week, you can take someone your age and invite them next week to church. This place, in a year from now, you should change place. That's how simple it is. But we make it so difficult. We make it so difficult. One person each one of us brings, it says in a bulletin, each one, reach one. If we bring one on one Sunday morning, to get just next week, we bring one each, this place is filled. Am I right? Easy it is. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. Huh? We got to do some math this morning here. But it's be a commitment of the kingdom. So we're going to be committed in this kind of worship. And we need to recognize this kingdom ministry if you want to be a kingdom church. The reason why it's so important for us to be committed to this, we want to do this to be a Titus 2 ministry. It tells us very clear, young people need older people. We do need older people in our life. Ladies need older ladies in your life. And some of you might have never had a mom. And maybe it's a good time to start the women's ministry. You can find a mom there, spiritual mom. You go to young, you got to go to the older. And the older, you got to go to the younger. And we must be committed to make sure that we find a way to keep this generation all together to keep us focused on kingdom ministry. We cannot be selective. We cannot separate the elders or the young. We need them together. Are you with me this morning? And what does it take? It takes your willingness, young man on your part, and the older generation, it takes humility and your willingness. Because when the older you get, I have all the experience, you have to come to me. But it takes both to work together. The older can show so much to the younger generation. The older can show the young generation how to pray. The older can show the generation how to keep on going and to not give up. But the younger generation can teach the older generation maybe how to worship the Lord and clapping. Or in shouting out praise or louder. But we need each other. we need each other in different generations together to how to be the true picture of the kingdom of God. And that's how we want this church to be. Amen? To work together. So, here's some, how will this work if we're committed to this? Some practical examples that I want to share with you this morning. And I know there are people who don't like hymns. And I know the people who don't like gospel. And I know the people who don't like contemporary or other style of music. I know that because I hear all the complaints. It's complicated to hear all those things. Because you're trying to make everyone happy, but the reality is you can never make everyone happy. So we must examine ourselves and see what we can do. So here it is. The first thing that we need to do is some practical things. We need to make sacrifices. I'll explain you. It's complicated that everyone is not going to be happy. Remember, we want to be a diverse church. So it means that we need to display even in our music. On Sundays, we sing different kinds of music. Sometimes we sing hymns, sometimes we sing gospel, sometimes we sing contemporary. And remember one thing, we are not doing it to make everyone happy. It's because that is impossible to make everyone happy. No, we are doing it because we want to build that church. This is what we want, it says. That if we love you, we want to worship you, Lord. That's the key. Let me tell you this, that I have seen the older generation, here it is. It will encourage the old generation. I have seen the older generation sacrifice themselves and not sing a song when there's a contemporary song that they don't know. And they just keep themselves quiet and they just worship the Lord. And that is a good example of a Christianity. They're sacrificing themselves. So all of us need to sacrifice ourselves in one area or another. So let me explain you this. If someone like me, or someone like Ulrich, or someone like Joseph, or anyone that loves to dance, instead of looking and criticizing them, look at the person dance, he's funny. No, rejoice with them. Rejoice because they're calling out God and they're worshiping God. If you see someone say, amen, 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 you go, keep it quiet in the back there. No, rejoice because they're calling out the name of the Lord. Give me a moment, please. I just want to put this here. So we need to make some of these sacrifices. Some of young women need to be part, like we said, of women's ministry. Some of young men need to be part of men's ministry, where they know more than you. They can give you wisdom. We've said that before. So the sacrifice is extremely important. Another thing that we must do, there's another practical thing that we must do, we must be gracious. So what I mean is that there's lots of room in this church for all kinds of people. There are some from dancers and non-dancers. They are for the ones who raise their hands and non-hand raiser, do you want to call it. What is not okay in this church, I want to bring that up there, is a self-righteous attitude to those who don't worship like you do. Repeat that. What's not okay in New Hope Christian Assembly is a self-righteous attitude to those who don't worship like you do. Self-righteous attitude is ungodly. And in New Hope Christian Assembly, there is no room for that here. New Hope Christian Assembly, if you raise your hand, it's okay. New Hope Christian Assembly, if you leave your hand down and worship the Lord, it's okay. If you dance, it's okay. If you don't dance, it's okay. But the important thing is you worship the Lord. Some of you might worship the Lord and when there's a sermon going on. Some of you might worship the Lord in coming in and for prayer. As long as we worship the Lord. That's the key.
the ultimate thing, what God has called us to do, have a church of diversity, a church that will not have the self-righteousness and start looking at each other, but instead of saying, wow, it's amazing the way Sister Eleanor sings. It is amazing the way this person dances because that person is rejoicing in the Lord. Now, we want to have a God. We serve a God who has order. Amen? Now, I can tell you one thing as a minister, I will stop you if you're out of order. There's one thing, I'm very blunt and I'm very straightforward. Because I believe God is a God of order. I love dancing and I will worship the Lord. And that's who I am and it's okay with that. But also there's other ones that don't dance, but it's okay. They worship the Lord in quietness. It's great as long as together this church will worship the Lord. Amen? So we don't want an attitude of self-righteousness or an attitude of criticism. But many churches I have been to worship with different ways, and that's okay. But like I said, the key is that let's be gracious to one another, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty, and we move forward. Amen? And the last one is we need sacrifice again. So I'm going to repeat that.
The first one was we need to make sacrifice. The second one was we must be gracious. The third was we need to sacrifice. And the only way it will work if we die to our preferences. This is what it looks like. It's impossible to do 6 songs here this morning and please everyone. It is impossible. It is impossible to mix it up and everyone will be happy because there's someone who's going to say something. It's complicated. I hear the complaints. But if a song comes up and that song is too jumpy for you or too joyous or too dancing for you or it's too clapping for you or you can't dance like that person does, rejoice. There's one person that came to me not too long ago and said to me these words in this church. It's hard for me. I love this church, but it's hard. I says, why? Just because I see a lot of people dancing, but I'm not at that level. I can't dance like that person dances. I said, that's not important. I said, as long as you worship the Lord the way you worship the Lord. If you want to bow down, you worship the Lord. If you don't have the strength to dance, don't dance. If you can't raise your hand, don't raise your hand. But the key is worship the Lord. I remember when Jesse and Mike were a little bit younger, every time I used to put these songs, I used to love the Gaithers. And these old, old songs. Their voice shakes when they sing. And every time there was a song, they used to turn out and just change that song because it wasn't for that generation. But for me, it was the most blessed song that you can ever find. But for that reason, you are insane. That's not a song that to sing on to. But that was a different generation. And this is what we face at times in church. Am I right? Different generations. It's complicated. It's hard. It's not easy to make everyone happy. So what we must do? We must examine ourselves and say, you know something? Let's rejoice with the person who's singing that hymn. Or let's rejoice with the person who is dancing. Because that's how the kingdom of God will be. Different kinds of nationalities, different kinds of cultures, different kinds, someone dancing, someone not dancing, as long as we're together, worshiping the Lord, the one true God, together. Amen? Do we look at that? Diversity is extremely important in the church. And in this church, we have our diversity. We need to die to our preferences. And when God wants us, what God wants us is when we get together, let us fellowship together, and worship together. Being a church that is diversity and committed ethnically, socially, and generationally is very difficult. It's competent. And you're not going to get everyone happy. And that's okay. We're still going to worship the Lord. It's Not, it's easy to gravitate to a person, to one status, to one culture, to one social class. But what I'm saying, it is very easy. It's very easy to feel comfortable to one culture or one person. It's okay. It is. But remember Acts 2. Remember Acts 2. All different. But when the Holy Spirit came down on them, they did not start a group, a new group of people of their own class. They were called the church. And we must be called the church. It's not about us. We as a church must display the way Jesus taught us to display it. All are welcomed in the kingdom of God. It's hard, it's complicated, but it's all worth it. Let's all stand this morning. I would like to sing one more song before we go home this morning. I just pray that this message that God has placed in my heart a couple of weeks ago, I shared it this morning, that it just encourages to focus on diversity. You know, generational is the most important thing. The rich and the poor and every nationality. That's how the true kingdom of God should be and will be. Amen. That's what he's asking for. So church, when we go out and we speak to someone, don't select that person because you feel comfortable with that person. But speak to the person. Jesus has taught us, he went away from the Jews and went to the Gentiles. And he has taught us that this morning. Go to the widows. Go to the seniors. And just even go to the children. Remember the children? Jesus said, bring them to me. The parents do not rebuke them. No. The children do not rebuke Jesus. No, it was his disciples that rebuked him. But he's teaching us to go for the children too. Go, lay hands, bring them to Jesus, the children. The widows, the poor and the rich, the black and the ill. Diversity in the church. A true picture of the kingdom of God is a church of diversity. Amen? Let's sing this song together, and then we're going to conclude with a word of prayer this morning.